Hi, so welcome to the meeting of the Public Transport Scrutiny Panel of Charterhouse Borough Council. There are a number of things I'd like to remind people of before we start with the items on the agenda. Please note that the meeting's been recorded and it will be made available on the Council's website following the meeting. Under the Openness of Local Government Bodies regulations, people may film or record this meeting and this is outside the Council's control. However, people wishing to film or record the meeting should do so in a way that doesn't disrupt the business of the meeting. And please, can you just check that your mobile phones are off or on silent? Thank you. Okay, so item one, apologies. Deborah's here, aren't they?
Yes, we've had no apologies, Chair.
Disclosures of pecuniary interest and other registrable and non-registrable interest? No, smash it. Declarations of party, I hope they're right, eh? How lovely. Questions under scrutiny committee procedures. No questions were submitted. So that moves us on to item five, the scrutiny scoping document. That's a bit of a tongue twister. Have you got any comments on the panel scoping document? Anything you would like to question or amend or?
Chair, can I just mention to the panel as well, because I'm aware we've got some new councillors on the panel that haven't haven't been on the scrutiny panel before. This document is a live document at item five, so this will likely change as we progress through the panel. So what you're looking at now, you know, it's there for you to accept, but it will probably change as we move on. We can add things to it, take things away from it.
So if you have a look at the scoping document, mm-hmm. you've got what will be included at the bottom of page one, borough-wide provision, demand response, transport, that's just bus service, which is fine.
Yeah.
You turn over, it says what will be excluded, but it doesn't seem to really say answer that. It just says the focus will be on public transport. So I'm happy with the both positive statements. But it's slightly misleading when the heading is what will be excluded, if that makes sense. That's mm-hmm. the only thing I've noticed to start with.
When we were looking at developing this scoping document, there wasn't anything obvious to pop in there.
Okay.
Because there wasn't anything obvious that we particularly wanted to exclude at the time.
Oh, I see. So this is basically a standard performer.
Yeah.
Oh, fine. It's such a technicality, I'm not fussed. But once you have a pro forma, do we have to keep the exact headings or can we also alter the headings? Because I would just change that to what will the focus be? Does that make sense? If we can't think of any exclusions, why the heading that says exclusions? Does that make sense? But it's such a mind thing.
I queried it myself, and that's why it was put in that positive term, because of course that doesn't actually mention the nighttime economy either, which is something we might want to look at. So if we do, we can actually amend it if we decide to, can't we? I mean, this is our document to do with what we want to do. Anything else?
Well, now you said that, Chair, should we include the use of public transport or going out in the evening?
For social and leisure purposes.
Yeah, I think we should.
Mm. Yeah,
personally.
I think so.
Now you said that.
Yeah. Yes.
So just to clarify, Chair, do you want me to put that in what will be included then? I just have a nighttime economy section, do you think?
Councillor Fox made a valid point there. Do we have to have the what will excluded?
I can change it if you want. I mean, most all scrutiny panels have the same heading, but there's nothing stopping us from changing it.
So,
can I suggest a quick compromise? But I feel like I've given too much focus to this when it's such a major issue. Mm-hmm. Why don't we just put that sentence on the focus under what will be included?
Yeah.
Leave that blank so we can, if we come across something that we want to exclude, it's still there for us as a working document.
Agreed.
That makes sense, and I do think that we ought to be looking at social and leisure purposes too. Mm-hmm. It's important, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, I mean, this might be under meeting the needs of the community. For the sake of this, we really need to identify communities that aren't being served by public transport.
Yes. Would it be best doing that under item 7 with the public transport survey?
Well, I think we can identify them by a bit of desktop sort of investigation. Just a for instance, the number 27. So I can only experience what is around me.
Yes.
They've just changed the times yet again.
Yes.
The 27, and so we have 27s in the morning to go to Coates School, etc. So that children can still go to the school, and it doesn't come to Thurmaston any other time. Just in the mornings, and it. Mornings and then again at leaving time. So what happens to all those communities, all those hours in between? What does the community use?
Yeah.
How does that get about? Does everybody have to get up at 7:30 and pretend they're school children to catch the bus?
Indeed, if they could the service cope with it? No, wouldn't be able to. I mean, I have the same thing as a Salvey resident. There is virtually no public transport in Salvey at all. So it's a similar thing, isn't it?
Or should we look more closely at doing that? Because I think it's fantastic that they have got that option, they've kept that service so that the kids can go to a school of their choice. Probably something we could look at is a compromise for smaller villages, having one a week. Serving a community.
Yeah, just the shopping. It
could be the same transport. It could be one or first or a river or whatever. But you know, one week doing, I don't know, think of a village, South Croston, which is 27 anyway, and the next week doing somewhere like Barwell, the next day kind of thing. So.
Yeah.
So at least somebody can plan on going to the shop. Yes,
yeah.
A road.
Thank you. The demand response transport could be another way of looking at that. And they were trying it, weren't they, in a different area, and I don't know how successful it was. That was another of my questions.
And there's other transport. I know that people can get like a demand transport to Sainsbury's or to Asda, because I often see the minibuses emptying. But unless you're in the know, you don't know. So probably they need to be wider investigated more.
I'm just going to start with asking another stupid question, but can anyone outline what? I don't know much about the demand and response transport, if I'm honest. Can somebody?
Neither do I.
Oh.
So that's something we need to look into.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can ring up and, So that there is, that again, Thurmaston, I'm sorry, I don't mean it, Thurmaston, we're so well served by buses.
Yeah.
So I'm not on this to sort of beat my drum, because we have got a good bus service on the Melton Road. But I know that people can get to Sainsbury's, which is in the city just, and the minibus empties. Now, I don't know where that originates from.
No.
And it does just say demand demand response on the bus. So where does it come from? Where does it go to?
And how do you
get it?
Well, I mean, I sorry, Chair. I was just going to say, I like to think of it as dial a ride.
Yes.
So that tells you what happens. You ring up or online.
Is it actually a bus?
It's just mini bus. It's a small bus.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's a bus, but it doesn't run from A to B. It runs to somebody's property or a bus stop near somebody's house.
And Leicestershire County Council were trialling, weren't they, over Hinckley Way,
detailed
in there.
Yeah.
So I'd be quite interested to find out how it works and whether that could be rolled out to some of our communities that just don't have the regular bus services.
Yeah.
I know that, Chair, through you, I know there's a development in, we've got Thorpebury up and going, the 4,500 houses, but they're modelling it on some a development in Lubbersthorpe, and it sounds to me as this Lubbersthorpe has got all bells and whistles. So I think they have got something.
And is that being done with us? Is that being done with S106?
May well be. I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Because that's something else we need to be looking at, isn't it, really, about how we can influence SIO6 contributions to make things better.
Yeah.
Because if we can.
Somebody, they build a house, you build a development, oh, I'll have a job. I'll have a job in Loughborough because there's a bus there, and then 5 years later, the developer doesn't, you know, it's only 5 years, and they've not got the bus service, but they've still got that job. How are they going to get there? So the S106 for bus journeys, it sounds good, it sounds really good, but if it's pulled off you as well.
So it's how it can be maintained.
Yeah, sustainability.
Well, I've got some information on that, Chair. So some of you may know this, but Broadnook Estate, there's an SO1, there's going to be a second 106 funded bus service from Broadnook to Leicester, is my understanding.
How does this work, though? Because I thought SO6 monies could only be for capital, not for running things or maintenance. Is that not right?
Buses.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's only going to be for 5 years. I think it's only going to be for 5 years.
But that's already served by, well, not the actual estate. No, not the estate. But the road is served by buses.
Very well, as well.
It's Loughborough Road. Used to be 625 when I lived there.
Well, you mean 127?
I don't know what number it is now.
Because that goes through Rosely.
Yeah.
But I mean, Broadnook's going to be so big.
Yes.
You need a bus to go up around the estate and come back and then go through Ripley.
So there is availability within the S106A funding to provide bus services. There was a, Councillor O'Neill might remember, the Primrose Hill estate that was served for a while by S106 funding, that the bus, one bus a day, one in each direction got diverted to go around Bolton Way and come down Housted Road and link up with the main 127 route.
Okay.
But also the Shepherd's Way development on Rosely Heath is also served on an S106 agreement on the same basis.
Okay, so there's precedence there.
Yeah.
So your point about identifying the communities that are best served is a very important one, isn't it? I think when we get onto the public transport survey, we could hone in on that then and put it on the work programme, if that's okay. Yeah?
Can I add to that? I only remember the disruption when the number two Kinch bus was cancelled through Barrow. So I think we need to look at communities that aren't well served and communities particularly that have recently had bus services on which they depended, because when that happens, as you say, that's their people are the most vulnerable.
Well, I mean, in point of fact, on that one, when Kinch Bus 2 service from Sarby to Leicester was withdrawn via Cossington, the county council then told the Sarby Parish Council and the other parishes affected that they would be looking at demand responsive transport for those people who were more than 800 metres away from the bus stop in the centre of Sarby, because the bus was still running from Sarby to Loughborough. So you could, but if you were more than 800 metres away, which you would be in the edge of Sarby in Costington, then they were actually going to look into that. I mean, they didn't actually put it in place.
The demand response transport, I'm sorry it happened, but the only thing I would say is it doesn't feel like a dependable. If you have to ring and hope that you can't depend upon that for work, can you?
No.
You're only going to be at a bus stop and you're ringing to hope that you can get a lift.
The other thing that I'm hearing anecdotally is though, even areas that have got on paper good bus services are not that dependable or reliable.
Well,
so there's an awful lot here for us to be separated out into what we want to do about and research into, I think, isn't there?
Yeah, I'd like to know why Kinch don't put buses on when they're supposed to be doing that. I mean, I live on the main, and they don't turn up, then they turn up, and they don't turn up.
Driver shortages.
Could we find out why that is? So, I know they said before, shortage of drivers, but they've had a campaign to recruit more drivers. And,
so that was the reason I
just understand, I mean, 20 years ago, when we had trippies, so we had every 4 minutes, they were fighting each other for the service. Now it's what a...
And I think it's that chicken and egg situation, isn't it? As things become more unreliable, the passenger numbers fall, therefore the service has become unsustainable, therefore it becomes more... cut them, and then have the passenger numbers fall, and so you go on. Yeah.
I mean, you mentioned, sorry, Mr. Chair, Cosington, when that was passed, the developer said we'll give each person a bus pack, but there was no bus service.
Just a bus pack.
The S106, because so they all get free for limited time, is it 12 months?
6 months.
Obviously more general.
As you say.
So we've got to find out that. It's, you know, we've got to see Richard Bennett here and ask him sort of questions.
Okay, getting back to the scoping document, are we all happy to note that and move on?
When you expanded it to include social and leisure, didn't include domestic, which would be things like doctor's appointments, shopping, going to see your parent, to care for them.
Just going to stick domestic in something. Perfect. What purposes? Okay, so item six, the Leicestershire County Council Bus Improvement Plan, which is rather a weighty tome. And I've noted on that it's supposed to be reviewed every year. And I wonder if there's any mechanism that any findings that we come up with in this panel can be fed back. Sally, you were saying that it hadn't been...
So, Chair, I had a look on the website, and I'm just trying to find where I made a note. And the most recent review is supposed to be reviewed annually. And the most recent review was October 2022, which was included in your agenda pack. And then at the Scrutiny Commission on Monday, one of the County Council, Jewel Hattie members, that also sits on the County Council, mentioned that on the 19th of December, the Leicestershire County Council Cabinet were looking at a report called Improving Passenger Transport Through Bus Service Improvement Plan Plus and Network North Funding. Now, I don't know what is included in that report, because it wasn't published at the time and it hasn't been discussed yet, but that sounds to me like it might be a bit of a review. So Councillor Lawrence has got his hand.
Sorry, okay.
I've finished
actually. I found the LCC Cabinet report for the 19th of December with that title. So this is reporting to the Cabinet and asking them to make some decisions, County Council Cabinet, obviously. With a revised passenger transport policy and strategy. And part of the reason they're revising it, because not only have they got two chunks of money for 23-24 and 24-25 from the government, and that was £1,790,000, and the same in 24-25, but they've now got a one-off revenue funding for 24-25 from the Department of Transport for £4,050,000.
Okay.
So that's labelled as a bus service improvement plan. Well, actually, it's saying all those are all bus service improvement plan funding from the government. But this, obviously, another £4 million is quite a substantial amount of money. I haven't read all the report, but I thought the panel might be interested in this bit, to say that where we're saying in the report under resource implications, the time limited funding available to the council provides an unprecedented and one-off opportunity to transform the Leicestershire subsidised public transport network and enhance the resilience and stability of the commercial public transport network. However, the short-term nature of the funding is not helpful, and the council will need to ensure there's no legacy costs once the funding ends. So it seems like they're, well, I haven't read the rest of the reports of them, but what they're, whether they're actually saying later on what they're proposing to do with it. But that was certainly and then in a later paragraph I just got to, it said it must be noted that funding post 2024-25 is still uncertain. If sufficient government funding of an appropriate mix of capital and revenue is not forthcoming, the council's passion to transport budget could face significant funding challenges, as was reported to the cabinet in February 23. That was when they were reviewing the subsidised services that they subsidise at the moment, like the 27. It's crucial, therefore, that the revised passenger transport strategy allows for a flexible approach to supporting services to reflect prevailing funding position. So basically, they're saying we've got this money now, but we might not always have that money, so we've got to be careful about subsidising bus operators to start up new services and then have to pull them because the money's run out. So
I think the budget proposals, it was sort of the view of most of the councillors that certain, each passenger is subsidised on some of these buses,
£125.
It's a ridiculous amount. You pay your £2, but really it's £123 that the county council's paying. That's to keep it on. I mean, just the school bus in the morning and at night is £350. So that's a day, every school, every bus that goes to school, you're having to pay all of that. But we're not looking into the children's buses. So there were certain routes being axed. Can't say it any better than that. They were being axed. And then the government gave us this money. So we're now in I'm talking about dual-headed now, hatted. We've now got to discuss, really, realistically, to carry on with that service, only to take it away next year because we haven't got the funding, is not good management at all. So we've got to really think very carefully which ones are reinstated, working smarter, probably having a more selective route through different places and having a rota or something like that, and is probably what their officers are looking into.
Okay.
Because the bus to Melton, I think there was a lot of hoo-ha about that. Again, I don't know anything about Melton. I only know that my bus on the Melton Road goes to Melton, but obviously Melton people need to go somewhere else. And I think they were all being cut.
They were under review. All of the subsidised services and all the messages are under review, including the 27 and some other, even some of the Loughborough Town services were under review because they're subsidised. But when they've got that first chunk of money, the £1,790,000 for the year we're in now, 2023, then they postponed the review because obviously they could just kind of feed that extra money through to the subsidised bus routes budget and just, not need to actually undertake a review at the time. Now it seems they've got another chunk of money for next year, the same amount, plus this £4 million chunk as well. So
there's so many uncertainties.
There's decisions to be made there about how that money is used. But it's actually probably quite timely for this panel to be in place, actually, because we talked in the scoping documents about the opportunity to feed into the next county public transport review.
Mm.
This Leicestershire Enhanced Bus Partnership or Group Board. Feed into their next annual review. Well, that annual review is obviously going to be informed by this extra money. And if our report comes out before they do their next review, that would be very timely, wouldn't it? What's a bit of a mystery is whether Sally knows this, but why did, because they're doing annual reviews, they started in October 21, they did an annual review October 22, what happened to the one in October 23? that's passed now, so...
Would it be... Sorry.
I'm not quite following this. So what the county council are saying is we've got this money, but we're not just going to spend it willy-nilly. We're only going to spend it on things that are sustainable. So they need to identify which bus routes they can actually fund initially, but then hopefully, if they're regular enough, I think we use them, they can actually become self-funding. Is that right?
I mean, yes.
Yeah.
Well, potentially, yeah. I mean, sorry, Chair, just something else has occurred to me. I think they'll probably be wanting to use some of the money, so you might know. To try and promote our services, to get people used to use buses before COVID, to get them back on the buses. Mm. So that's a promotion thing. Also make it easier to use the buses, so that's an information thing, but, you know, better bus stops, shelters, you know, the physical infrastructure and all that sort of thing. So you can imagine some of that money would be allocated for that sort of infrastructure, stroke publicity, stroke information.
It's chicken and egg though, isn't it? People aren't going to use the bus unless it's regular, but unless it's regular, they're not going to use it. That's me. Yeah. It's sort of like...
people got to trust it, haven't they?
Yeah.
Like I've said, on Melton Road, we're well served. It used to be every 5 minutes, but now it's probably every 10 minutes. But it is on reliable. Sometimes there's a whole service missed out. Now my argument is let's just make it every 15 minutes or every 20 minutes so that it's a reliable bus service. To do it then instead of missing them out.
So two things I think have come out of this discussion, if I may, that could potentially go on the work programme. First thing is to find out what on earth Leicestershire County Council are actually doing. So reading that report, inviting an officer perhaps to our next meeting, somebody wanting to talk to a lead member, looking at you, Randa, because you're in the County Council.
I think I've already told Sally, choose how you move. Is a department there.
Yeah.
So if I have any queries, it'll go to choose how you move.
So I think that would be a very good thing to be looking at for the next meeting. Yeah. And the second one, as you've mentioned and you've mentioned and I've mentioned, is the reliability, and you also is the reliability. So if that could be fitted onto the same work programme, if it's not too much, if we have anybody who's volunteering to contact the bus companies to find out what on earth is going on and why they're not more reliable, that would help them. Maybe even invite the bus companies here.
I was going to say, Chair, actually, in your scoping document, we have said that we want to speak to bus operators, so I can invite some of those if everybody wants that to happen. Yeah. What companies should we look
for? Kinch.
Oh, Reva. I live opposite with Reva.
Oh, Scott.
But the chances of ever talking to someone in an office is ridiculous.
They've got offices in Syston.
Thurmston opposite me.
I have a vague recollection that Kinch runs a Skylink. Is that right?
Yes, the yellow ones.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Then which case is just Kinch?
Well, which is actually Trent Barton, I think.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's just a brand name they're still using, but I think it's Trent Barton. I think I'm right in saying it's Trent Barton, because they're the ones.
It is.
Okay. I was scrolling through my phone, through my emails, trying to find details of the bus service user group, because I was invited to that. It's a group that's been set up by Leicestershire County Council to talk to people who are actually using the buses. And they wanted an equalities person to sit on that one, so I was invited along. In fact, I had to send a sub because I couldn't make the meeting dates. But it does exist, it does happen, the meetings happen on a regular basis, but at the minute I can't find the details for it. So
I think
when I get
been sent one for January the 24th, Thursday, I think is one, because Councillor Lenny sits on it as well. So she can't make it, but I think I'm going to try to. So actually that could be a useful point to get more information if we want more information about
it. I think bus companies do send people to attend those meetings as well.
Okay.
So it might be a point to make contact with them.
I say, Chair, I did mention this on Facebook last night about this meeting and a lot of feedback. and people mentioned about Kinch not turning up when they're supposed to do, but the one to the university is never it's always on time, and it's never.
Who runs that?
That's Kinch as well. Sprint, I think it's Sprint it's called. And that's always there. And people were saying, where's all our students?
I've heard tell that as well.
Do you know what I mean? So when I mentioned that.
Yeah.
You know,
so the universities always seem to be also, but theirs don't turn up.
So who really pays there? Do the university subsidise anything? I just wondered.
I don't know.
Just a thought.
Sorry, two questions. One is, what was that group that you referred to?
Bus service users, sorry.
The other thing is, could we invite Centre Bus as well? Because they're the ones that are running most of this subsidised services.
Yeah. If we think of any others after the meeting, if we just email yourself, Sally, then they can be invited, can't they?
When we get onto the work programme, Martin Chair, we can decide whether we want them to come, but it sounds like we might want them to come to our next meeting in February. But we'll get on to that in a
while. Unless we think the whole meeting is going to be taken up by working out what Leicester County Council are going to do, but we can talk about it.
Yeah.
About it. Okay, so given the fact that we know that there's an updated improvement plan, is there any comments or anything anybody wants to make or wants to be raised or on the one that we've got?
Have we got Dial a Ride on there or Response Transport?
No, we haven't.
Because I think we need to know what we're talking about there, don't we?
Yeah. So you want me to find somebody who...
Well, that would be a county again.
Yeah. County officers,
you need a county officer because Dial a Ride is operating on a sort of franchise kind of basis. Yeah. It might be ADT in London, but it might be Birstall County in Birstall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Chair, when Sally and Seagrave were kind of lobbying the County Council about the number 27 route, we ended up emailing a lady called Hina at Guardia. So she's from Choose How You Move, I think.
I just talked to a gentleman there, and unfortunately my phone hasn't got the County Council on it. It's just Borough Council phone, that is. Yeah. So I didn't bring the other one. Yeah. That's how I could have read a lot.
So that's G-A-D-H-I-A and Hina, H-I-N-A.
You could send your contacts, it would be appropriate to send them, can't you?
Yeah.
Okay, so is there anything else then?
Chris mentioned about bus stops and making them nice places for people to come to. Does the Borough Council pay for any bus stops? I thought they did. It was on planning months and...
I think they do with it when the development's there.
Right, and we look after them.
I've got a vague recollection of the bus stop in Corner Weeding is...
I just wondered, does the Borough Council pay for any subsidies? It's just county, is it? Nothing to do with this.
No.
But if we're paying some bus stops.
Well, I think even Thurston Parish Council has got two bus stops.
It's just a thought.
I think it's
the Corner Parish Council. Right. That's my mistake.
I think we've got a couple that are parish.
I don't want to disturb the mix, that's all.
No, it's a valid question. We are having an S106 officer coming and talking to us in March, aren't we? That's a question for them perhaps. And also what monies can be spent on them in terms of maintenance as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so if there's no other comments on this, are we happy to note the improvement plan and the annual review? Okay, so that brings us nicely on to item 7, the public transport survey. And I think this indicates quite clearly certain communities that are not terribly well served. Perhaps now would be a good time looking at that to identify them. I don't know, or is there any other comments or anything, discussions that you want to have over it? Or anything that you know that hasn't been included as well, actually?
I was reading the report, and it was very weighted terminally too, particularly reading it off the screen, and it did actually mention like towns within the borough and one or two other urban centres, but there are lots of things on there that it didn't mention. It didn't mention Mount Sorrel, but Mount Sorrel is actually quite a key stopgap place on the 127 route. So it's not exhaustive. I mean, I think there are one, just mentioned a lot of places, you know, places with large populations, but there are plenty of places on there that it doesn't mention.
On the survey?
Yes.
This survey has come about by an email being sent out a while ago to all councillors.
Right.
For feedback on what public transport is like in their ward.
Right.
And did you contact the parish councillors as well?
Yeah.
So it's come from parish right. councillors too. In terms of reliability in Rothley and Mount Sorrel picking up at school times, that has been omitted. Is there anything else that people know about that hasn't been included for whatever reason?
Hasn't been.
The point I was trying to make, which I didn't make that very well, is that are we still talking about the county council report? Okay.
I was just about to say, actually, because you are, there is a board of Mount Sorrel that roped in together. Mm-hmm. We've got a response near the bottom. The only thing I'm aware of in the village, which is, I'm not sure how related this is to what we're exactly looking at, is there are some difficulties with the bus stop in the centre of Corn, which is just outside. I'm just thinking of issues that have been made just outside the Fox, and when Rawlins pours out, it's an absolute crush.
Strong, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's been the bane of, you know, you literally can't, you don't go through the village at that point.
Is it dangerous?
It's been raised for years for a number of different parties, so they will be better equipped to evaluate that. Does that make sense? I don't want to make a cursive judgment there, but it's not great. But that's been raised with the authorities for a long time.
Just to give you an idea, if I go from Loughborough to pick up my daughters from Rawlins to get home, it will take me approximately 40 minutes. If I go from Loughborough to get home without going past Rawlins, it will take me less than 10.
What they did actually, I'm just trying to remember, the issues that came up a while ago, is to do with the timing of the bus. This is a very niche issue with the particular bus company, but I think the issue at one point was that the bus would come and the timing was just before the kids pulled out. Then there wouldn't be another one for like 20 minutes. So you have 20 minutes of this. It wasn't very well thought through. But that was such a long, that's not current knowledge. I'm just thinking of what I've known from, you know, the last few years. But that's something to try and extrapolate that and be more general, so it's not so village specific. I guess it's there will be pinch points where bus stops and timings are not aligned with the village needs. Because I imagine that used to work before Rawlins got much bigger.
Yeah, it is a bit of a niche issue, but there is a Paul Winston bus that runs at the same time.
Yes.
Which was put on specifically to try and alleviate some of those issues. Doesn't that
work? Does work well, actually, is they often park in the lay-by now near the new development. But when they pull in, you know that,
yes.
Paul Winston, when they pull in near Co-op, it's impassable.
Two
things I was going to say. Going back to the survey that it's just gone out to borough councillors and parish councillors, or parish councils. What I've noticed on the returns is there's only one from anybody in Loughborough, actually. So there's not much in their survey about Loughborough, actually.
Yeah,
interestingly.
Loughborough, stuff that I'm getting from the residents in my ward is that on paper, for Shelthorpe and outwards, it's a good service, but it's not very reliable. There's nothing in the evenings.
Yeah.
I think looking at this, it's a real problem with stuff on a Sunday and in the evenings. I don't think maybe we've got a good service there at all. And then, correct me if I'm wrong, but then there are certain villages that have a reasonably decent bus service, and there are certain villages that just don't.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's coming across from the other responses from the out in the villages, isn't it? The other thing I was going to mention is that this is a public transport panel, so the railway service, the train service, and there is a comment from Sarby Parish Council here talking about passenger being refused boarding on a 7:54 peak time train to Loughborough from Sarby. Mm-hmm. And this is like, commuters and students going to work in school and college. and they could, yeah, basically can't get there, and then they've got to wait another hour for the next train. So, yeah, and that did happen in that week when, I wonder whether it's been happening this week, because it, you know, when some of the roads are flooded, more people use the train to get to Loughborough, because it's not far quicker than battling over the Barrow Bridge in all the traffic. So that's an issue there about, you know, is the train service, the timing of the train service is actually fit for purpose in terms of getting people from Syston and Sarby to Loughborough in the morning.
And the size of the buses and the size of the trains they're putting on as well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, all it needs is an extra carriage, really.
Yeah, I mean, this is just.
But you aren't probably talking about an extra £200-400 to put an extra carriage on them.
Well, if they've got one.
Yeah, if they've got one.
Yeah, but they're going to fill it with passengers.
Yeah.
As a resident as well.
And some of the trains on that line would be more modern looking ones with the, you know, the standard East Midlands Railway livery. Three coaches anyway, so you don't get more people on, but if it's one of the older ones that's only got two carriages with the old livery on it, that's the problem.
Councillor Fox?
Sorry, what I was also going to say is not, I'm going to specifically talk about it, just as a general resident, the train is always more expensive than I'm willing to pay. That's the obvious reason every time I think I'll take the train and I look at it, I think, gosh, is that much for that journey? Mm-hmm. Right, bus, drive, etc. So if we're going to talk about trains, we need to talk about the average cost.
Absolutely.
And stopping on a Sunday as well.
Yeah.
Midday. Do we want to, with this information, identify the communities now? Or do we want to put that in the work programme so we can take it away and think about it and then come back with them?
Can I make a suggestion? My concern about identifying them now is we're all going on quite anecdotal. I would be going on anecdotal knowledge from my particular area. So I would be concerned that the areas we all happen to represent would have really good input, but what we need to focus on is what areas are represented here and what areas are not represented. I feel like we need a little bit of a like audit, because I don't know, where is everyone? I'm Corwin, the Mount Sorrel Castle,
Thorpe,
where is Thorpe Acre? I don't know what the experience in the room is, and I think our biggest risk is actually the people who don't have their representatives in this group, would be my concern. Does that make sense?
Yes. On the other hand, you could argue if they've not submitted to the survey.
Oh, fine. Okay.
Then there is there a big problem in their ward?
They haven't got an issue.
You don't know that for sure, do you? You can't say that for sure. I know, but Sally.
A suggestion is perhaps if we link into this bus service user group in some way. I mean, I could probably get some contact details from you, Councillor Blackshaw, or you can lead me in the right direction. I could speak to somebody that organises that, and we could highlight to that group that we're doing this panel. We can always invite bus service users, or we could ask them to discuss it at their meeting and then feed back to us or something like that.
That's a good idea.
Can I make a suggestion as well? What we could do, if this is a public document, isn't it, the public survey, we could just email that out to all of our current borough councillors. Could we do that and say that we've had our meeting, but you know, this is what's been raised, but you, as we all know our wards best, you know yours. Do you have a look? And that same as we have done,
you want to ask?
Is there any major issue that happens to be missed out? Because again, it just gives that catch-all that says, you know, if there's something major and it hasn't been included, you'd hope the Borough Council would have their finger on that.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And then on top of that, if we could make it a bit more structured this time. I can't remember how that came out last time, but you know, obviously, yeah, I think that's good, you know, to reflect what we've already got. But then, you know, so you get a few structured questions, just, you know, like, so to make sure they think about the train as well as the bus, for example.
It was an opening email before, please can you make any comments about good practice or needs of public transport in your...
Yeah, it was fairly general, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but we can make it a bit more structured, I think.
Okay. Have you got any suggestions for the kind of questions that would work?
Well, I'd be happy to. I mean, Sally, maybe I could work with Sally to come up with some, a bit of structure to it. I've done a bit of work in the past. I've done some, putting surveys together a bit.
Okay, lovely. So to clarify,
yeah.
We'll send this out to all ward members. And to parish council as well?
I think so.
My thought there, if I got it, and I was like, oh, I'm not sure, I would just send it to my parish council. Mm. I just feel like that's a reason why you have different... Mm. I just think what we could say is one of the reasons could you have a look yourself? And if you feel like it's worthwhile, just to touch base with the parish council, if they send anything to feedback, then we're only going to one group.
Yeah.
And it's their responsibility to go into their own ward.
Yeah, I agree with that.
To be honest, most of the replies in this survey are from the parish councils, and I think a lot of the time that did happen where the borough council said, oh, can send it to the parish and they'll sort it.
I think as well it keeps that loop between, because if it goes to me and it wants to go to the parish council, I'm like, are they saying the same thing I've said? Whereas if it comes to me and I have a conversation with the parish council, it's good working practice, we're on the same page and then we all go back together. If that makes sense, that's how I would recommend it.
Okay.
Perhaps one of the reasons why we've not had many responses in Loughborough is because they don't have any parishes within Loughborough.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
So the onus was just on the borough councillors that made it.
So it would be a good idea just to make sure that it's very clearly directed at the borough councillors, and if they work in a parish with a parish council, then they talk to the parish council as well. Does that make sense?
Mm. The one thing that we did get from Loughborough, though, because Sally and I both assumed when we met the scoping panel that actually Loughborough would be all right, and we firmly got the impression that Loughborough really isn't all right, not very well served at all. So we have got information from Loughborough. So, to clarify, we'll send this out to borough councillors, and Councillor Lawrence will work with Sally to get some more specific questions to make it easier for councillors to actually answer them, to know what is expected of them, as it were.
I've just gone on looking back at emails that I've sent, and I had the questionnaire on the 7th of November. I answered it, and it's not here.
Okay.
So my clerk had it, but has not
forwarded it on
at all. And I know it wasn't just me that commented, it was two more parish councillors as well.
Okay.
So
you'll be able to chase that then, won't you, now you know it's not been forwarded?
Yeah.
Or it's been missed in some way anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. Smashing. So, identifying communities we need to put on for a work programme for another meeting, don't we? So that's something else to discuss when we get there. Right. Any other comments about the survey? Okay, so we can note it and move on. Are we happy? Lovely. So that brings us nicely on now to the work programme in key task planning. So what have we got?
Chair, can I just highlight, obviously we've already mentioned that we've got Mark Pickford, who deals with Section 106 processes. He was meant to be coming in February, but since the publication of the agenda, he's been in touch with me to say that he can't make that meeting. So I've suggested to him that he attends in March. I think you've already alluded to that. But we discussed this before the meeting, and we said perhaps it's worth speaking to Mark offline just so we get a little bit of an idea of Section 106 processes, perhaps, before he comes to formally speak to us.
I mean, could he, Chair, could he just do a fairly one-sided A4 briefing note for us for the next meeting, and then we can have got some idea about it by the time he actually comes in March?
Yeah.
Or we can even have a chat.
It'll give us some idea of questions that we want to raise with him. Yeah, okay, that's a nice idea, thank you. So, we've identified some things we wanted to put on the work programme, haven't we? Am I right in remembering that for the February meeting, we wanted to drill into what Leicestershire County Council are doing? So, if we could invite a Leicestershire County Council officer to that meeting?
Yeah.
Would it And also if we can have that document set out so that we can all read it beforehand. Would it be a good idea for somebody or a couple of us to actually link up with a lead member for public transport in County Council before that as well, to have a chat with them?
I think to get an officer here at night, you would be, it used to be quite easy, but it's not now.
Is it not?
No. In the day, a different kettle of fish, but at night.
They don't have any committee meetings in the evenings, do they? No. They're not used to working in the evenings, but I can try.
Because we used to have the highways meeting, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was not compared, wasn't it? Yeah.
Did we have our meeting any earlier?
I mean, I can, I'm retired, so... But
I can on a Wednesday, it's my day off.
Sorry to be earlier, much earlier rather than later is better for me, because I can do it when Katie's at school.
Yeah.
So that makes sense, but
yeah.
After three I'm a bit scattered
until
I can get my husband back for seven.
Roy?
Depends if I'm working, that's the thing. Mm-hmm. Might be alright.
So I'll look at moving that meeting to the daytime then, shall I?
A Wednesday.
Yeah. Well, we can use the same date, can't we? Potentially, that we've already got booked in, which is the 7th of February, but I can just move it up earlier in the day.
Is that a Wednesday?
Yeah. And yeah, I could obviously I'll speak to some officers at LCC and see if I can get...
See whether they could come in.
Yeah. Yeah.
If they could come at 5 or something like that, we started a bit earlier and they just...
No. She's the expert.
I don't know, you may well, but they're so geared up to daytime only. I mean, I've never attended a meeting in the evening at county. So
well,
what
I
daytime?
I used to work till 6 quite often.
Times have changed.
Mm.
Okay, so we
ways
all
of working.
So we're all happy
for
Sally to try and get something during the daytime. That's lovely. Thank you. Do you think it's a good idea to talk to the lead member beforehand as well to get a flavour of what's going on? What's your take on it?
Yeah, because Ozzy.
Who's the lead member? I think Ozzy O'Shea. Is it O'Shea?
Ozzy O'Shea.
So, Chair, would you like that meeting offline then? Not in the committee, not invited to the committee meeting, but you want to speak to him offline before? Yeah.
Yeah, because there's no way he'd come to a meeting.
Well, is there?
No. He's far too busy and important for that.
Well, I mean, there will be an officer under him that just purposely deals with public transport.
So they will know everything.
Yeah, Ozzy won't, probably.
But if we've got some questions for the County Council at a sort of strategic level, at a policy making level, you know, arising from this quite significant change that they've now got, where they've got this extra £4 million as well as the original money, and they're discussing a cabinet on the 19th.
Yeah.
How are they going to do that? So somebody at that level is able to come and talk to them. So, you know, say it was you, Brenda, and you, Sarah, as the chair of this, just to represent us. If you two were to go and meet him and to get an insight into the strategy policy side of things. As opposed to Hina, the officer I'm talking about is going to be more at the practicalities level. How does it all work? Subsidies, how do they liaise with the bus operators, that sort of stuff.
Would it be better to meet with lead member before or after meeting with the officer? Because after we've met with the officer, that might be some questions that we want
to. Yeah, after we've... Yeah, so that would be after. We'll be trying to get the officer in February, and we are, aren't we? Yes, maybe after that.
Okay. So if we have an officer here in February to talk, and it's during the daytime, would that be a good idea in that meeting as well to try and get some answers about reliability and invite the operatives during the daytime, because they're more likely to be able to come, are they not? Yeah. So if we have those two on the February work programme, that's that full really then, isn't it? So we've got the March meeting, is it March?
Mm-hmm.
But we've got S106 on that. Do we also want to look at identifying communities that the bus service needs to be improved on in that same meeting?
Will that not come, because by then we need to have the survey
returns back to do that, don't we?
But by March, surely, the end of March would
So the answer is yes.
Yeah, okay. Is there anything else anybody wants to put on the work programme at the moment? Or would we like to keep May free to fill up once we've had those?
Yeah, good idea.
Yeah. So have we got a plan? Lovely. Anything anybody wants to add to the plan or amend to the plan or? No? Have we finished?
It's been a good meeting. We know what we're doing. And,
thank you all very much for coming, and thank you for volunteering and giving.